So for me, I think it, and I agree with everything that Josh said. Like, it means to explore, expand, and like connect with different people. Just to kind of get away from like what your current environment is, and just to experience something different. And I mean, it's going to be different across across people. And so, like, just being who you are as a Black person over in those spaces, but then it's also the acknowledgement that you are Black, right? And because you are Black, people are going to have stereotypes and misconceptions around your Blackness and what that means abroad. And I also want to like open it up. I know it says traveling while Black, and we kind of open it up like through traveling like out of the state or even out of the country. But I even think we can like also look at local things, like something as simple as going to the polls to vote. And I have an interesting story to share. What's up, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Woke and Broke, where we give you the information to live your best life and just converse and talk about life.
Yes.
Life.
Yes.
How's y'all
doing?
I said it first, so you gotta answer.
Go ahead, Josh. Ask us again. For the people in the back.
Right. How was y'all's week and weekend? What y'all do?
Well, mine was fabulous because we had school on Monday. We were off Tuesday for Election Day. And then a bitch went to the Bahamas for the rest of the week.
Ooh, yes!
Yes, for our conference. It was the International Conference of Urban Education. And I went for that and just a little vacation, of course. And so it was just, it was everything that my spirit needed.
I'm jealous.
I just had the very
Damn, time. I wish I could go.
Yes, me too.
And I had conk for the first time, and it was really, really, really good.
Oh, conk is really good.
Really good. I don't know what I've been missing out. It's just a type of, it's a shellfish.
Oh, okay.
If you ever see those like really pretty big shells, like I have to send you a picture because I bought trifling ass. I didn't buy two conch shells and a starfish for my students to kind of just see and feel, because I had got them postcards and stuff like that. And so I have to take a picture and show you. But it's like a really, once you see the shell, you'll be like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
But it was really, really good. And I just had a great time. It was just so relaxing. And I think I just love being in a place where it's like Black people everywhere. Like,
right.
And so it was nice.
Shout out. Yeah. I'm so jealous because I'm ready for to be somewhere tropical, because this cold, y'all.
Listen,
I'm not here for
coming
like,
back to it was the pits. I was like,
I bet like
dip over fall, like I just
like literally fall was not enough time at all. It literally just it was like okay, and then cold.
It was right. No, it was no in between. Warning. It wasn't any of that.
No,
no warning at all.
Like it snowed on Friday.
Right.
Wow.
Like what the fuck? I'm not
it's
ready.
It's supposed to snow tomorrow in Oklahoma.
I'm not prepared.
But
I'm
then
not.
Be 60 for the rest of the week. Like y'all
trying what? To
get like, what's that Oklahoma shit that I just can't get with? Like,
and that's why people getting sick now.
Ain't that it?
The devil is busy in Oklahoma. That ain't nothing but the devil's work. You're gonna snow on Monday, and then the rest of the week is like 60.
Right. Like, that just sound like my allergies would just be fucked up.
Right.
Folks' lives are about to be fucked up.
Like, man. Well, bro, how was your week?
My week was very, very busy, y'all. And it's still busy, as you know, like right now. Mm-hmm. In a few more hours, I'm getting ready to go do this program. I had to give a speech tonight at this event that the African Student Association is hosting called Africa to the World. Mm-hmm. And so I'm sitting up here trying to get my speech together and, you know, make it sound like it is going to make sense and everything. And I'm like, okay, I don't got forever to be up there, but it's just so much that I can say. So I'm trying to be like strategic on what I say. And also understand that I really only have like 5 to 7 minutes, no more, because I'm not trying to be up there talking for like 15, 20 minutes. That's not the type of program, because people got to be out and, you know, they got a fashion show. Like, it's a lot going on tonight. Yes, it is a lot. Singing, fashion show, dinner. They didn't already prep the food. Like, it's a lot going on. So I'm like, I'm not trying to be up there for 20 minutes. And to me, 20 minutes is not even enough time to talk about the significance of Africa. So I'm sitting up here going to give them all that I can give them in 5 to 7, no more than 10 minutes. I'm sticking with 5 to 7 because anybody trying to be up talking for a long period of time. But other than that, my week was, it was just busy. It was cool, but just busy. And so this evening is busy, but I'm good. I'm doing okay.
It should be fun though. Daddy, do you remember? Do you remember when we was in college and they used to have Africa Night, the African Student Association? Yes, they would like have like big performances and shit.
And you know, I already had a deep love for Africa.
Yes,
they decorating the whole room. They got all the flags and everything. It's gonna be lit.
And then the food.
Oh, y'all know I'm gonna take pictures of the food and everything.
Oh my god, I miss African food, y'all.
If y'all ever get a chance to try peanut butter soup, like,
I've had some before.
But it's like so good.
Yes. It is good. I high key need to just get like a whole bunch of different recipes and just start learning how to make them.
You should try to make jollof rice. I'm actually going to try to make that. I know that's on the menu tonight.
So good.
It is so good. I'm going to just show y'all what is. They making jollof rice, benichin, like it's a lot of great stuff.
If you can get some recipes, bro, get some recipes from your students. Like,
I'm gonna ask, like, listen, how y'all? I should have came in with them earlier because they was cooking and prepping the food yesterday, but I was busy trying to do this speech and everything. But I'm gonna ask them, like, because I know they go bring some food too, because they made a lot, and so I'm gonna get some recipes because there's two things that they made are really good, like. It's the jollof rice. It's like Nigerian style, and I think the benichin is like, I really enjoyed it. And they have Ethiopian food. Like, it's a lot going on with the spread.
I just hope that you can really get a recipe, because you know how Black folks are. They're like, I just make it.
Right, I just put it together.
To nobody.
Right,
you put a little bit of this. I hate when they tell me that. Put a little bit of this.
But you know, Black folks, we don't be measuring nothing.
What is that?
No, we don't measure.
We don't measure.
We don't measure.
It's based on our spirit.
We just give you all the ingredients, but we don't measure none of them.
The ancestors just be tapping our hand like, okay, that's enough.
I said a dab.
But you know, everybody's dab be different.
It do. It do.
For sure.
It really do. Well, that's good. Like, my week was cool. Work was what it was. But... You know, y'all, I'm learning. I'm trying to do my best. I'm trying to rise above and not let it get the best of me. But
just play that candy song. I rise above. Right.
That was short hair candy.
I'm going to have to listen to that.
With the spikes and shit.
Right. That was back in the day.
It's fun. But no,
it went back in the day. I thought that was her new song.
No. Fly above. That was when she first started coming back on Real Housewives. Or when she was coming back in the scene and started Real Housewives.
Really?
Yes.
I thought it was like 2 seasons ago, child.
Nope. It was like at the beginning. She was still short hair candy with the color.
Oh my God. Are you sure?
Positive.
I guess I'm still thinking, if
you ask,
don't think
about it.
That's even further back.
That's way, way back.
I thought
Fly Butter
Haters was
recent. No, not at all. But yes, work ain't really been shit. But, you know, I mean, like I said, I'm learning how to fly above and just... deal with things that I cannot control and to control the things that I can. Yeah. You know? And I know in my personal life and all my side hustle and everything, doing what I need to do, what I can and need to do in order to keep moving forward, you know? So that's where I am with that. But beyond that, like this diet, well, detox has been the pits, y'all. Like, it's just, I mean, even though I'm learning to cook more vegetarian and vegan dishes, I can't eat really what I want to the way I want to. Like, I can't even have beans, y'all.
See, I would have to modify
that shit hard.
All those vegan recipes, but I have to realize, like, right now, you can't even
eat. I can't eat beans. I can't eat corn. I can't eat butter. I can't eat shit.
Which the corn makes sense because that's just starch, but beans?
No beans. Mm-mm, not shit. Like, literally, it's just vegetables, brown rice.
Damn detox.
My African doctor.
He African.
He know. Yeah, he know. Okay. He know. He own a whole wellness shop and shit. No, he a whole African. He got a whole wellness shop and everything. He's real cool too. I love my doctor. I'm so glad I switched. I told him, I said, I want to lose weight without no medications. And he said, I have just the thing for you, but it's going to be hard. I was like, okay. I'm going to do my best, but I've been holding true, you know, but Lord knows I've been wanting to eat a motherfucking burger like it ain't shit. I want some French fries. I just want everything, but it's been a struggle.
It's time. It'll be there.
Yes, because I can't wait to have cheese, y'all. I want some nachos.
Yes. Nachos. I cannot wait. Some pasta.
Right.
So how long do you have to go for this detox?
So for the detox, I have until this upcoming Wednesday. On Wednesday, like midnight, I can then eat meat again.
So technically Thursday?
No, technically Wednesday. So Tuesday night at midnight. Yeah.
All right.
So I'm so excited. I'm literally gonna be counting down just like I was when I had to do the fucking fast. I'm gonna be counting down, have my plate ready, and I'm gonna eat at fucking midnight. And that's just what's gonna happen. But it's childish and it's terrible, but whatever. I'm hungry and I want all the food and I can't have it, so I'm gonna wait until midnight and I'm gonna have it. And that's what's gonna happen.
But you gotta do what you gotta do.
You gotta do what you gotta do in order to survive and maintain up in these streets. But like yesterday, I had fun. Me and Mel was able to go to Chicago. We went to hang out with our friends and record for one of our friend Johnny's podcasts. Each of us had we did different episodes and stuff, and it was just a really good time just hanging with like cool people. I think y'all would love them. Like, just FYI, y'all would love them. They are super funny and they mad cool. All of them are creative and stuff. Like, it's just always good energy and a good time every time we around them. So, yes, but it was real fun. Yes, yes. It was much needed, especially after a week like I had, you know.
Right.
So, it was fun, but yeah, now we here and recording and chilling and fellowship.
Right.
As per you.
For you.
Yes, but I'm glad y'all had a good week and stuff. Hopefully this week will be much, much better and greater for us.
What?
Yeah, so we're going to speak it and put it into existence.
Please. Yes.
Yes. But let's move right over to the Black Brilliant and Beautiful segment. What y'all find this week?
Well, today is Veterans Day. And I know my students have been performing stuff all week and learning about Veterans Day. And I just wanted to shout out to our Black men and women who have fought for our country, especially for a country that ain't never fought for them.
Hello.
We do appreciate them. We do appreciate them going out in the forefront and fighting for our rights and just, you know, having that experience, because I can't even imagine fighting in the military. Mm-hmm. Like, especially back in the day, they went through some shit.
Yes.
Like, you know
they
what
did.
I mean? Like,
yes.
Some shit is. And so, just shout out to them, because I don't feel like Black people get the recognition that they should.
Right.
Like, we were in the military too. We were fighting just alongside you guys. Mm-hmm. So, Just shout out to them and to the ones that are still living. Like, I saw a black man on the train with his little veteran's hat. Aww. He was in the Vietnam War. And I'm just like, my brother, like, right. I can't even imagine, you know?
Yes, the things they've seen and done. Like, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah, shout out to y'all. Shout out to everybody that's out there, you know, that's been in the military. My sister was in the military for almost 20 years?
Wow.
Yeah, in the Air Force. So I'm going to have to call her and tell her happy Veterans Day. Shit, it'll make her feel good.
For sure.
But I didn't find anything this week. I mean, but shout out to everybody who went out and voted. I will say that.
Yes. Even though they tried to push
They tried to play. They was playing all the games, literally all the games. But you know what? Shout out to Houston for all of those black women judges who got got elected in. You know, it was 19 of them in Houston? Mm-hmm. 19.
Yes, come on.
Coming through, not playing no game. So shout out to everybody who got elected this year. And we look forward to seeing what amazing things y'all do in the future, because we need this change. Lord knows.
Surely needed.
And shout out to the black people who ran.
Facts.
Right. For position, who did run, though, right. Even if they didn't get elected, like, I just appreciate, because it takes a lot.
Oh, yes, it does.
To run for a position. We had a guy from Guthrie who I didn't even hear of his opponent. Mm-hmm. I've only heard about him and just deep into the community, like all over the district or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he came up short, like, you know, well, Oklahoma's just red state as fuck.
Yeah.
But I was just hoping and praying that he would come through, but the cars didn't fall for him. But he's still out there, and that just shows you how much he loves his community. He's still out there, you know, working with people, talking to people, you know, like being there for the community, and that's what it's all about. Some people just do it for the election and to get elected.
Right.
And it just showed that it was bigger to, bigger to him.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just shout out to you guys. Just for
yes. And now we're going to move right over to the main topic segment, the vent. Today?
Well, as you guys know, we kind of talked about it briefly. I went to the Bahamas.
Yes.
The best time. But I just kind of noticed a little things while I was over there. And I just really wanted us to dive into what it means to travel while Black. What kind of experiences we have. And so I wanted to start off by asking you guys, like, what do you think it means to travel while Black?
I know, like, as far as me, like, for me personally, when I go and travel while being Black, I'm going to expand my horizon, like, you know, just to see how everybody else in the rest of the world live, to get a break from America and its bullshit,
right?
You know, and to just, you know, try to connect with other natives in different areas just to see how they live again and the types of things that they go through, you know, on a day-to-day basis. And then just also learn different cultures and have new experiences overall. But honestly, like, I've never had any bad experiences while traveling, especially like going to a different country. I've never had anybody like do anything racist to me or say anything racist. It's always been, you know, them appreciating us or, you know, stuff like that. But then too, I've also gone a lot of places where there's people of color, you know.
Right.
The only two places that I went that weren't were Greece and Turkey. Okay. You know, we were pretty much the only Black people there, you know. And they asked us first if we were Arabian, and we were like, no.
Really?
Mm-hmm. They were like, are you Arabian? And we were like, no, we're Black. We're from America. And they were like, oh my God, I love you. You know, so it was really cool. They would buy us stuff and like want to cook us food and all this stuff. But I've never had any like really bad experiences overall as far as while traveling. Well, to different countries anyway, you know, because different states, I mean,
Right.
People ain't shit. Ain't shit. You know what I'm saying?
Ain't shit.
Right. Michael, what about you?
What do you
think it means to travel while Black?
So for me, I think it, and I agree with everything that Josh said, like it means to explore, expand, and like connect with different people. You know, just to kind of get away from like what your current environment is and just to experience something different. And I mean, it's going to be different across every, across people. And so like just being who you are as a Black person over in those spaces, but then it's also the acknowledgement that you are Black, right?
Right.
Because you are Black, people are going to have stereotypes and misconceptions around your Blackness and what that means abroad.
Right.
And I also want to like open it up. I know it says traveling while Black, and we kind of open it up like through traveling like out of the state or even out of the country.
Right.
But I even think we can like also look at local things, like something as simple as going to the polls to vote. And I have an interesting story to share.
Yes.
So y'all know I'm in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
North, Eau Claire. So you know it's overwhelmingly white here. The Black population is probably like 1% total. So I go to vote.
Wow.
Like me and my coworker, we're going to vote, and she's Mexican, and so we're going to vote.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I'm because they made us like vote somewhere at a church or some Lutheran church. So mm-hmm. I get there, I'm trying to, you know, give them information, everything. So they have, of course, nothing but white people doing the registration and all this other type of stuff. So I sit down and I'm trying to, you know, get myself situated. And the woman first tells me, oh, you're not qualified. I was like,
What
do you mean? So I'm in my mind, I'm like, I was already, y'all, and this is bad that I was anticipating some bullshit. So in my mind, I was like, okay, here comes the bullshit. I'm about to see what they talking about. So this woman is trying to look and read to see what's going on. She was like, oh yeah, you're not qualified. So another woman comes over and then she looks and she was like, oh no, you have to go, you know, pointing her in the direction. She's like, oh, you didn't read all the information.
Mm.
And so she was like, oh, you know what, you're right. So she's still going and everything. And I had to, you know, I'm filling out the paperwork, signing signatures, all this other type of stuff. And then she gets to the next page and then she says, you know, your address and you're not qualified. So my thing is this, she said that again and I'm just like, is this voter suppression? Like, what is really going on? Like,
right.
Are y'all trying not to let me vote because I'm Black? Like, I need to know this because what is up with her being what I perceive to be incompetent as fuck?
Ain't that it?
Why is she acting like this is her first, like she just got here and she ain't never had no type of training on this and somebody can walk her through it like she in fucking preschool.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this other man came over and he was like, he was trying to, and he's white too. He came over, he was trying to like, let her know, like, you're not reading everything, basically. Like you, and then she tried to say something about her glasses weren't working and all this other type of shit.
Her glasses like, wasn't working, bitch.
My glasses not, the prescription not as strong as it needs to be. I'm like,
bye, bitch.
I wear glasses too. And I know what strong prescription is. Like, my prescription is heavier than yours. You on some other shit. You know what I mean? Like, and so it just reminded me, I'm like, I literally, me and my coworker were literally the only people of color at that point in time when we went to that location to vote.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, they are sending us through all this bullshit. I'm like,
of course.
Why was it so much? I'm like, why do we have to go through all that just to cast our vote? So, I mean, that experience to me just is like a demonstration of like what it means to travel while Black, because you could be local. People are going to send you through extra shit.
Oh, yes.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
If you're on a flight, they go do some extra checks. That's happened to me a couple of times. Anytime that I've flown, I'm always going through, even after I take everything off, they got to double check me, fill all up in between my, you know, robes and everything. You know what I mean? Like, they fill up everything. I'm like, y'all saw me walk through here and know that I don't got nothing, but y'all still want to touch me?
Right.
Right.
See?
Wow.
That's that shit.
There's definitely a difference between, like, when we think of traveling while Black, domestically, locally, and internationally.
Mm-hmm.
And internationally, it depends on where we go.
Oh, yeah, like, it does.
Domestically, it depends on what state we go to, and locally, what locations you go to, but always feeling like we have to have our guard up and to prepare. I mean, you know, to expect the worst and pray for the best. I think to me, that's what it kind of means. Always feeling like we have to be on guard because we never know
how people are going to react
or how people are going to react to us.
Yeah.
So what, I know, Josh, you mentioned this, some attention that you may get. Do you think it's more, you said it was, you didn't receive any type of hate type of vibes, but definitely out of curiosity, the attention that was given to you. Can you expand upon that?
Yeah, it was like, when again, this is in Turkey and Greece. It was people just asking, okay, well, where are you from? You know, and because everybody there looked the same, you know. And so when they saw us and we wearing like, you know, t-shirts and like basketball shorts or jeans and stuff, and we walking down the street, you know, they would come up to us and stop us in the street, you know, and ask us, you know, are we Arabian? Where are we from? And we like, no, we're Black. You know, we're from America. And they just loved us. Like, it was weird because at first it kind of felt weird. Like, why are you doing this? You know, it makes you suspicious. Why are you doing this? Right. Why are you wanting to buy me dinner? Like, what? Like, are you trying to do something? You know, just because you don't know. But then you realize it's just because they're nice and they aren't used to seeing different types of people and stuff like that, you know, and it was really them wanting, showing interest in who we were and what we did, you know, stuff like that. And I really appreciated it because that's kind of a type of experience that I wanted. Not saying that I wanted people to stop me in the street, but I wanted to get to know the people, you know, that was in the area. So it was a lot of that when I went to Turkey and Greece. And then, of course, I mean, in Jamaica, it's us, you know? So it's like a whole different environment. It's like, well, hey, you, my brother, we trying to have a good time. You know, we're relaxed, you know, and here's where you should go eat. Here's where you should go shop. This is what you should do. Like, very much that. Right. Again, like you said, it depends on where you go. Oh, I went to Mexico too. I love Mexico too. And I didn't have any issues in Mexico when we went either. Actually, it's like a different vibe, you know, in certain places when you go to places that are like warmer.
Right.
I'll say. It's like the people are more chill. They're more on a relaxed schedule, you know, they do what they have to do, you know what I'm saying, but at the same time it's like they're not so uptight or anything like that, but it was definitely more so curiosity. I didn't experience any hate, but my niece, you know, Brittany went to Australia, and she had experiences with, you know, white people there who were like racist, and she was like walking down the street one day, or not down the street, but on the sidewalk, and a guy like bumped into her and did not say excuse me, like aggressively bumped into her while she was like with her group of colleagues or whatever, and like one of the people that she was with, one of the guys she was with, he saw it and he like confronted the guy or whatever. And I'm like, okay, the fact that you would do that, you know, that says a lot about the type of people, you know, that might be in that area, or the types of people.
Which
that
makes
are
sense
in,
when you look at the history of Australia.
Absolutely.
Like, that doesn't surprise me. You would hope people would be more progressive, but when your country is deeply rooted in racism, like, it's just kind of like America. I mean, you know what I mean?
Facts. Honestly. Yes. So, like you said, it really does depend on where you go and the type of people that are there, the type of society that they have. It depends on that a lot, which, you know, determines whether or not we will have a comfortable experience or have to be on our guard.
Right. Absolutely. Michael, what about you? Any attention as far as like, was it more out of curiosity towards you or hate?
I'm gonna go sit up here and say it was hate. Like, I'm just go be upfront about it. Like, even so, I haven't traveled abroad yet. I've just been to many different states.
Mm-hmm.
But just with certain interactions that I've had, especially where there were, you know, white people involved, like, in just the negative reactions or just the over you know, like doing the most. Like she was literally up in there acting dumb. Like she had no formal training on this and then tried to blame it on her glasses. Like, and it's no shade and not to be ageist. The majority of the people that were working in that whole area are old and white.
Yeah.
But I even still, like, I think she was on some other stuff because it's just like, you are literally creating barriers or situations for me so that I, and this is how I feel, so that I won't vote. Like, how are you telling me that I'm not qualified? Like, what?
Right.
Are you stupid? What are you doing, you dummy? Like,
right.
Get it together. Mm-hmm. Get it all the way together. And I mean, there are just countless examples that I've even seen, like, in media, just about, you know, Black people's experiences traveling abroad too, where their interactions with white people. So I forgot the name of this. I don't know. This was fairly recent, so probably like within the last month. I remember seeing online this Black woman. I think this was over in the UK, I think, I want to say.
Uh-huh.
They were on a train, and this white man was absolutely being completely disrespectful to this elderly Black woman because he did not want her to sit next to him, and he was going off. And in my mind, I'm like, why aren't they throwing this bitch off the train? Mm-hmm. Like, why are they trying to accommodate him? Why aren't they throwing him off the train? He's the one who's making an issue about her. She doesn't give a fuck about him. She's trying to get to her destination, like most Black people, mind our Black ass business.
Right.
Get to where we trying to go. And he's literally causing a scene and just really showing himself to be the racist that he is. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, they're trying to pacify him and like meet his needs. I'm like, he just completely disrespected this woman, this Black woman. And it's just like, though, and that's a traveling situation that to me, it's like, you know what? You know, things are just not equal. Like the world would lead you to believe, you know what I mean? Like, we just are this progressive utopia of coexistence, and that's just not the case. And I mean, there are just so many examples, and so I'm on guard. Like, I'm like aware of certain social situations when it comes to when race is a factor, when it does become about race. It's like, okay, you're the only Black person in the room, you're the only person of color in the room, so you need to be aware of what that dynamic could look like.
Right.
Absolutely. Because I think a lot of times we don't understand how the world also sees us.
Mm-hmm.
Because we know we get, you know, a lot of backlash from Americans or whatever. And I'm not saying all Americans like that, but we know what it is.
Right.
But a lot of times other countries, maybe they may take on those stereotypes of what they've seen.
Yeah.
Or they don't understand the struggles that we've been through in America. And so when they look at us, they feel threatened as well, and they feel maybe aggression, and so they treat us differently too. Like, I saw where I don't know where it was, I need to find out where a guy, this was recent too, where he had been beaten to death.
What?
And this was recently, this was probably maybe if not this past summer, the summer before, was on vacation. And I guess he had taken a picture with the bartender or something, but
I remember this
said
story.
That he didn't do anything, right? And they beat him to death. But they said that his friends said that the group just attacked him. It wasn't even on some, you know. It's like we're not even safe abroad,
and right?
We're safer. I know a lot of people love to travel by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you're safer in numbers.
In groups, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. In groups, truth be told. Especially if you're of color.
Well, I have a question. Like, do you guys, like, most of the experiences that you guys may have had or that you've heard about, have they involved any particular type of people? Like, who were the aggressors or who were making the situation uncomfortable or agitating the situation?
No shade, but it's always white folks I see. But I've never, like, probably like you, I've never actually experienced, at least not abroad.
Mm-hmm.
But I the only places I've been have been where people of color have been the majority.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't had to yet to experience non-people of color in a different country. So I've never been to Australia or Germany yeah. or, you know, Greece or whatever just yet. But as far as in America, when we want to talk about traveling domestically, a lot of times it is white people.
Mm-hmm. And I mean,
the aggressors, like.
I guess I asked that because, like, you know, I primarily see that as well. And we see it not just even in traveling, but, like, you know, like with the woman who called the police on the guys who, or the people who were trying to barbecue in the park.
Right,
and
right.
then, like, the woman who called the police on the little boy who she said touched his butt and it was just, I mean, touched her butt and it was just the backpack. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's always that, like, I wonder what that comes from. Like, do you think that they think that, like, we're trying to encroach over into their space, even though the reality is they have encroached onto everybody else's space?
Right. Yes. And I think it's some type of guilt, too. Like, I think if you have a history of doing people wrong, you think that somebody's always out to get you.
Yes. Because
why would we not be angry? Why? I mean, I would totally understand if Black people were just going around setting shit on fire, starting riots every chance we got, spitting on white people and just throat punching every white person we saw. Like,
right.
It would make total sense when you think about the history, but we don't carry, well, a lot of us don't carry that much hate because it's just too much energy to give.
Right.
And sometimes it makes me feel like they're such on guard about it that they think that we're going to attack at any moment.
Right.
Or they have that fear. And so because they have that fear, they react before they even see anything. You know, nothing's going on, but they're like, oh, you know.
They're up to some shenanigans.
They're up to some shit.
Yeah.
Because I do really want, because I know for a fact, if it was white people in a park barbecuing, well, they don't barbecue, I guess. I guess they do, having picnics.
They grill.
A grill. They're
grill out. A cookout.
She would not have called the police. I know that for a fact. I would bet a lot of money on that. I would bet a lot.
Right.
So I don't know.
I would bet the Mega Millions.
Or they just see us and think it's going to be some type of
altercation or negative interaction.
But when we get together, I mean, we're just like any people. White
it's
people
love.
Together and it's fight too. Like,
right.
You know what I mean?
But the majority normally, of the time, it's yeah, love.
It's yeah. love. We know these people. We want a good time. It's a vibe. Like, anytime it is some shit, it's because somebody had too much liquor and it's an outside person. You know what
right,
I'm saying?
Right, yeah.
They're getting into it with a nigga they couldn't stand for years and the liquor really just ain't encouraged.
Right, yes.
And so it's never just like, on some
somebody
bullshit.
Just coming out,
you know,
just,
always,
oh my God, we're gonna blast everybody. Yeah,
exactly. It's always just a good vibe. So I think it really is just rooted out of the stereotype. It's pure ignorance.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
their own fear for whatever reason. Like it's on them. It has nothing to do with us. It's them.
And then I wonder, like, it makes you wonder, like, also, like, what, how much of it is them just, like you said, that guilt, but that guilt coming into, like, when they see us, it makes them uncomfortable because they
right.
know the things that have happened. And so they just want to remove that cognitive dissonance. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And not just see us at all. Because if they see each other, then they're like, okay, well, you just like me. You've done things
right.
just like I've done things or whatever. But if they see us knowing the history that they have with us and stuff, then they're like, oh, no, you don't belong here. You shouldn't be here. You know,
right.
it makes you question which one it is or if it's a combination of it all, you know.
Absolutely.
Just a question I had. Sorry.
No, that's a really good question. Because, I mean, it definitely is something to think about. Because I think to eliminate a lot of that, we need to know the why. We need to know what makes you want to call the police. Like,
right.
but then they would have to be honest. They can't just say, oh, because I didn't think they had a permit. But
right.
what makes you think just by look, when you didn't come to anybody, come up to have any conversation to see what was going on, you just strictly just called it. You assume
right.
and you called the police.
See, that really makes
Even
me curious.
Even when people tell them, I live here, like, they still don't believe it. You know, like,
right.
you have the woman at, was it Stanford? Where was she at? It was the Ivy League, and she fell asleep in the comedy.
Oh, yeah.
Or the black man that was going up to his apartment, nice apartment, mm-hmm. and the white woman was following him because she didn't think
that he lived there. Like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We say, I live here, like, this is my house, and yet
and that should be enough.
Right. You know?
It's not enough. They want to
try to police us.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
See, that really makes me wonder, though. Like, if there's any white people that are listening, I want to know, you know, like, where that comes from. Or if you have, like, even if you're white and you're not the type that does that, but you know people that are like that, you know, I wonder, like, not call in because we don't have no number, but you can send us an email.
Not yet. We don't got a number.
Right. We don't got a number yet, but send us an email or like reach out on our social media because I really want to know like where that comes from, you know, and what makes them feel so uncomfortable and feel the need to have to police everybody that's not them. Because, you know, in kindergarten, you learn to treat people the way you want to be treated and to keep your hands to yourself, mind your business. You know, you learn those things in kindergarten. However, most of the time, these situations occur because of people encroaching onto other people's space. Just like Lindsay Lohan, you in a whole nother place in somebody else's country, antagonizing them where they just trying to live their life, and you bothering them.
I never heard what happened with that. I've never heard of that.
It was something that happened. She like went over there, and it was like these homeless people who were. It was like a family who was homeless or something, and they were just like sitting there, like living life. And she went over there, you know, bothering them, really trying to like get them to do something. I don't remember exactly what she did, but like she ended up chasing them, you know, pretty much like down the street. And I don't remember if somebody hit her or if they pushed her or something, but like you caused that.
She was the victim. And then she was the victim.
Yeah. So it's like, but you started it. You started that. And what made you feel empowered and emboldened enough and like it was your business enough to go over and talk to them and antagonize them like that? Right. Or do you even see that it's antagonization? Like, you know, it really begs to the question of what is going through your mind, or is there anything going through your mind when those types of things occur?
Right.
Because imagine if somebody did that to you. Imagine if a person of color came up to you and did that to you. Right. Oh, everything would be just terrible. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. So what makes you feel empowered and emboldened and responsible, you know, when it comes to doing things like that?
I really think it's still like, even though it's super ignorant, I know this stuff is rooted in stereotypes.
It is racist stereotypes.
Savages, like we were animals, like that could not be controlled. Mm. And so when you see people, even though there are so many examples that tell you otherwise, people still hold on to that fear.
Right.
And when you live in places where you don't see black people every day, you only go off of what you see on
TV.
Mm-hmm. And maybe what you've seen isn't the best representation of us.
Right.
You still hold on tight, you know, to those stereotypes. Like, even if you do live with maybe you got 10 black people in your town, mm-hmm. they still only say, oh, well, you guys are different than them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They don't see us as individuals. They still
generalize us
as one. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I don't know if we could ever break that. I mean, I would say we would have to kill all these people would need to die off.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's spreading through.
It, like their teach is generational. Mm-hmm.
They teach
their family these, you know.
I think it just needs to be conversations. You know, the conversations need to be had, but I feel like people are so scared to have the conversations because of what may result. But it's like there has been animosity, you know, and because of all of the things that have occurred over centuries, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, so it's gonna have to be some real straightforward awkward conversations to get to the root and the get behind the psychology of it all,
right.
You know, because a lot of people like to say, oh, well, I'm not racist. I don't see color and all these things. But then you're antagonizing people, you know, or agitating people who are just trying to live their life and enjoy, Absolutely. Go on vacation or visit their families or just, you know, fellowship.
And I just think it's bullshit to say you don't see color. Right. We all see color. And, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with recognizing somebody for who they are. That's a part of who they are. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I just think it's a cop out and bullshit. When I hear people say I don't see color, it just pisses me off even more. Because at the same time, I feel like you're trying to take away from, because I'm proud to be a Black woman.
Me
too. You know what I mean?
And I mean, not all a Black man.
To take that away, you know?
Yeah,
right. Black woman.
We all come from Black women.
We Facts. Do, and I need to watch that.
Black women are a part of us.
Yes,
her red table. She has a lady coming on, and she straight up says that she's like, "I am a pale Black person. We we've come from the Black woman. We're just further from the equator, which is why our skin is pale."
Yes, yes.
Bloop.
Facts.
Bloop,
facts.
Bloop.
So what limits do we, getting back to the traveling and being Black and traveling, what limits do you think we put on ourselves when we travel?
I mean, just being hyper aware of like our surroundings. Like if we are socially aware of like, you know, different, you know, racial dynamics and things like that, being able to see color and what that means in our social interactions, whether that's local or abroad. We put limits. It may be in the way in which we normally talk, for example.
Right.
Like it's like code switching, you know, trying to make the other seem more comfortable around us because they are just so uncomfortable with all our Blackness.
Right.
Like, right.
I feel like that's just a natural like social cue that we as Black people of color often do to, and it's fucked up because to me it's like it's to ease their anxiety
or what
issues they are struggling with as it pertains to us, and that really has nothing to do with us, but you know, for many reasons, safety, survival, and all what's going on
Absolutely.
Today, we have
this
to be aware.
Right.
We don't have time to be slipping up when it comes to their shortcomings.
Right.
And what they lack in understanding and being able to have a critical consciousness or even admitting to some of the things that have happened historically, how they show up in contemporary society. They may not be there developmentally, but it's something as a tool, as a skill that we have to just have. And so unfortunately, we might be a little less loud. You know what I mean?
Right.
Going to a new environment. We might, you know, just change the way that we, and again, the way that we interact with each other when we're around certain people, when we're out and it's an unknown space, things like that. So we don't bring attention to ourselves, unfortunately, because we shouldn't have to do that. But based on the way that the societal structure is set up, we almost have to do that.
Yeah.
So we do put limits on ourselves while we're traveling. We, you know, we just do.
And a lot of times, like even like piggybacking off of that, we don't even go certain places because of what we've heard. You know what I mean?
And
that's terrible because it's like you hear one person say, oh, well, I've been there before. My auntie went there. So, and the people are not cool. Like, they're not nice. They were aggressive, you know, and rude, like stuff like that. So, like, that really keeps us from even wanting to go certain places and put those types of limits on ourselves that way. So it sucks because it is always in your head thinking about, okay, well, how is the rest of the world going to treat me?
Right,
and by rest of the world, I mean, it's never really you thinking about people of color. Yeah, you're never really thinking about people of color and how they're going to treat you. It's always, okay, well, what are the white people like?
Right.
You know, and how do they treat us? How do they see us? What is their society like? You know what I mean? And that's terrible to even have to feel that and have to think that way because it shouldn't be that way. It should be innocent until proven guilty.
Right.
Every single time, everywhere you go, in every situation, and yet it's not. It's not. Okay. Well, how do I know that these people ain't like the people that I'm around already? You know,
right.
Or that I have to watch on a regular basis already. So, you know, maybe I won't have a good time. Maybe I won't get to enjoy myself. Maybe they don't see us as good people. You know, And that even goes with, like, you know, like, what is it? Which Asian country is it? I don't want to be incorrect. I think it's China. You know, where they say that Black people are demonized there or whatever. I don't remember. I don't want to be incorrect, so I have to do some research. But I know in one of the Asian countries, you know, they talk about, like, interactions with Black people and how they just see us as bad, you know, or they demonize us, like just like that Dove commercial where the and they washed it and then came out and the guy was white, like it's like, what is that? Like, so you're saying that we're dirty? You're saying that, like, you know what I mean? That is that. So it's like, it makes you think about those things before you even take a trip, you know, to learn about a new culture or to experience something different or a different place, a different environment, you know?
Right.
It's always so frustrating when you hear people of color, because I do consider Asian people of color.
Like, me too, yeah.
Have these feelings toward Black people. Like, we are all mistreated by white folks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yes. Sometimes trips me out, but I want to say this, that when we talk about, you know, places that people try to make us aware of to not go, and maybe it could be a different experience. My brother, like, well, one of the places they say Black people shouldn't visit is Germany, but my twin, he lived over there for 2 years, and he didn't have any issues. Like, he probably had some people looking at him because he was, I mean, he stood out. He was the only Black person in his the village that he lived in. So I know that they were very curious about that, you know what I mean? But I have major anxiety about it. I'm like, you're living there with all these white people, like,
right,
it scares me. Like, are you safe? Like, are you okay? But he never had to fear for his safety. But that was just one part he was at. I'm not sure about, you know, Germany is big. I'm not sure about other parts, you know.
My sister lived in Germany for 7 years and she loved it.
And she loved it. And even, because I know there's military bases out there as well, but it's like, he wasn't in the military. He just lived, you know, with the people, you know what I'm saying, and traveled accordingly, you know what I mean? And so, and had a different experience. And I know that we can't you know, we can't stop. I mean, obviously being precautious, doing your research for sure about different areas, but not being afraid to kind of, you know, go out there and see it just out of fear that they might not accept you because of who you are on the outside.
Right.
And not being able to, not being afraid to try different experiences as well. Because I don't think a lot of people think Black people, we're just out here traveling and living our best life, or that we're open to different adventures. I definitely don't think that we should limit ourselves in that aspect either. Not everything is something that white folks do. Like, we can go and bungee jump. We can do, you know, all these types of things that people think that we wouldn't do. You know, just, I mean, I'm afraid of heights, so a lot of stuff I probably wouldn't do. But I would, if given the opportunity, I would definitely try it just to say I've done it, you know, and not to limit myself. You know, I hear that it's very freeing. And so, you know, just in that aspect, we don't want to limit ourselves either with the experiences while we travel.
Right. Okay, so, like, I'm going back, like, for what I said, I went to try to look and see if I could find country that where they say that, like, they demonize Black people, but I don't see the name, which country it is, but I did see it's a question that somebody asked, and it was like, is it true that Asian people hate Black people? And it says that there is no significant Black population in Asia. You can't hate or love what you have never seen. I think you must have mistaken fear as hate. And this is true. Asians are scared of Blacks, but they also are scared of Hispanics, Middle Easterns, Indians, aliens, and English test scores, skydiving, potential wars, darkness, etc. You know, people are scared of what they don't know and what they don't understand.
Right.
So it may not be that, you know, they don't like Black people or that they demonize Black people, but that they just had never seen Black people before and were scared because of whatever stereotypes they may know, right. You know, or they may be out there. So I did want to make that clear, mm-hmm. you know, before going forward.
And, you know, they villainize Asians too. Like, if you watch certain movies, true. They make it seem like they're all the bad guys and we have to fight. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? Only Jackie Chan's the good one who worked. You know right. what I'm saying? Like, that's how, if, like, if you were basing it only on, you know, what you see in movies, we would probably mm-hmm. have the same fear towards them that they might have towards us.
Right, right. That's so true.
What random questions have you received about your culture while traveling? Like, that maybe you had to clear mm-hmm. up, or it was kind of nice that they asked, because, you know, I feel like when people ask questions, they're ignorant mm-hmm. and they want to understand. They want to gain knowledge right. about you.
I've never really had anybody ask me questions like about my culture. Uh-huh. It was more so like asking questions about America.
Right.
You know, I had, like, when I went overseas, like, and I was in Turkey and Greece, I did have somebody ask me if it's, like, as racist as they hear, you know, mm-hmm. over here. And I'm like, well, I mean, it is. Like, we have experiences there. Right. It's not the best, you know, but it depends on where you are. It depends on the type of people that are in the environment mm-hmm. that you're in. It depends on, you know, your community. It depends on so many different things. Right. But racism definitely does still exist, mm-hmm. you know, even though they try to lead people to believe that it doesn't, but it does, right. you know. So, but that's really the only questions, the type of questions that I've gotten traveling abroad. You know, and then as far as like traveling domestically, it's just like people asking if we still ride on horses and shit in Oklahoma.
Wow.
You know, stuff like that.
Living and in teepees. Like, well,
yeah. Right. Say, I'm yeah, like, yeah. Niggas do still be on their horses. I ain't gonna front, but it's not everybody, because a bitch like me ain't never had no horse. I ain't never.
But been you on did a have horse. Them people down the street from you that had a whole horse in their yard.
Facts.
I would never forget
facts.
That. Never forget that.
Facts. So I mean, you will see that. You know what I mean? But like, it's not like what people think that it is. So it's like in cases like that, I don't ever get like really offended, because that's what you hear. Right, that's right. what you think, because you don't know any better. So that is ignorance. You know, until you know better, you don't know better. So
yes, absolutely.
Like, I mean, with those types of questions, you know, I've gotten those, but I've never gotten anything that's just so like offensive to
right,
me
right.
Or anything like that. Not while traveling.
Yeah. Mm. Michael, have you?
This wasn't like traveling abroad or anything, but I was like going on a debate tournament. I think it was at University of Central Arkansas. And this white girl, she had asked me about my ways. And her silly ass literally asked me, did I have to carve those in?
Bye, oh, bitch.
I brush my hair. My hair has a natural curl pattern. It's called dedication and not brushing my in. Hair.
Bitch.
My wave cap, my do-rag on. Like, what type of dummy are you? I have to carve those in. And she was looking so fascinated. I was waiting for her to ask. I was waiting for her to ask if she touched it. I was waiting.
Bitch, I can't. What did you feel? What did you feel?
I thought she was dumb, because I'm out. I'm like, wait a minute, we had a debate tournament and we about to go do some, you know, intellectual debate, and you coming off as a strong dummy. Like, what's wrong?
She didn't know.
We was probably like, I was probably like 19. We was probably like 19 or whatever, but still.
Carved in, though. That's my thing. Carved in.
she hadn't experienced black hair, so she wasn't aware. But high key, other people have waves right. too. Like, right. I mean, they do. Like, if you put gel in a white person's hair, but, they can get a wave right. too. Like, I mean, so it's like, bitch, I'm sorry, because bitches can do anybody
finger
can do
waves. Finger waves.
Yes. But you know, they speaking don't really know waves, about finger waves. That's like, oh, black culture right there.
True. It is. My true.
Wearing finger waves.
Do y'all have y'all seen the Chilling Adventures of Sabrina on Netflix?
No, but I heard about it. Is it good?
Girl, it's so good. It's very. You might have to pray before
ooh,
they wrote this. Very yeah. It's a lot, but there's this character named Prudence on there, and her finger. What she got these black? She black, and she got these blonde finger waves. When I tell you she the baddest bitch on the show. I love her finger waves. I love her finger waves. Like, just dope. I just had to mention it. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
You know, I'll be on tangents.
Well, when thinking of hair, like, that's kind of something that I got approached about while over in the Bahamas. Like, a Bohemian, she had came up, and she was like, you guys are the only black people that I see, or, you know, people of color that I see up in here. Everybody else is white, and I can't ask them. And she was like, do I have bad hair? And I was like, no. I was like, anything that comes from your scalp is good. Like,
ain't that it? Yes.
That is something that white people just told us to make us feel bad about what our hair was. You know what
right,
I mean? Like,
right,
there's
yes.
no such thing as bad hair. Like, and it felt right. good to say that because I know for me, I didn't always feel that way either. Like, I always thought, oh, I got bad hair. Like, you know, but everything that grows from our head that God has given us, that grows from our scalp, is good. Mm-hmm. And there's no shame in it, you know, because she was like, I want to transition and wear my natural hair. And it just reminded me that, you know, they try to separate us, like, and we're separated by demographics. But we are all from Africa. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And we still deal with the same struggles, even when we are apart, like in their homeland as opposed to ours, even when it comes to our hair. You know what I mean?
Right.
And it's like we've come, like in America, black women have come so far in accepting our hair. Even the black boys, like I love seeing a black man wear his natural hair. Like,
his natural, yeah.
My homeboy cut his off and it pissed me off. Like, it pissed me off and it's nice, sure, but I just loved, I felt like he was like finally embracing his nappy ass hair and it was beautiful, you know? And so I love that we are, you know, we have progressed and that's it. But it just lets you know that some other
people are still
working through it, you know?
Yeah.
Because your coworker is telling you that your hair is bad, you know, we still gotta change our mindsets.
Right. But that's just like you were saying, with Jane Elliott.
Oh yeah,
it's
that's
just
her
the
name.
Differences. Yeah. I meant to say that back then.
I knew it was the Jane, but I didn't want to so make clean. That up yeah. and just say a white name and think it was right.
No, but that's just like you were saying with her. Like, I mean, it's just the differences in location. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, whether you're closer or further away from the equator, that makes your skin different. It makes your hair different. Right. It makes your nails different. And not just, you know, how close or far away you are from the equator, but the foods and the vegetation that's around
absolutely.
Too, because then you're getting a different diet, you're getting different nutrients, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? It all plays an effect. So it's not like we're totally different species
right.
out here intermingling or anything like absolutely. That. And even in nature, like when you think about in nature, different species intermingle and stuff. Well, not like genetically or anything, but I mean just like in life,
right.
you know, they interact and whatnot, and there's no issue. It's just all life, you know. What happens is what happens. Like, but we're people. We're all of one race. We're all of one people. Yes, we have different hair. Yes, we have different skin. Yes, we have different, you know, eye color and features and whatnot, behaviors.
Right.
But that's just the differences in our environment,
right.
you know what I mean? And people get that so confused because of eugenics and shit. That shit was fake. It was fake, and it was made up as fuck. And yet people still believe the shit, and it's still touted or whatever. And it's like, come on now, like we can't travel to meet each other because y'all still dealing with this mentality from some shit that motherfuckers made up long time ago that ain't real.
Not real.
No science, none. Like, you know what I mean? And you telling it as a science and making yourself feel bad, you know, making other people feel bad. And for what? Mm-hmm. To keep us separated and hating each other? That's not what this is
at
for.
All.
You
at
know? All. Not in 2018, going into 2019.
Right?
No, no.
Got to do better.
Gotta.
Got to do better. So what, any thoughts, Michael?
As far as
like maybe
because no, y'all was asking different questions after a while.
We were, huh? We were
right.
My bad.
Well, then I'll just go into say like, what are some like because when we travel, it has to be. I think getting back to traveling while black, finding your purpose for traveling and your desire for doing so. Like, what are some of your like purposes and desires for traveling?
I like to travel because I legitimately like to explore new places. Yeah. Even growing up as a kid, I would think about like, you know, the 50 states and all of that. And then just, you know, all what we have and then just the idea of leaving out of the United States. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like that was just something that was always in me to be like, to go from seeing it on the TV to actually living it has just been something that I'm like, I really want to do this. I really want to do this.
Right.
I want to travel abroad. I want to experience other cultures. I want to see the world. I want to see all these things, you know, while I'm here. So for me, it's always for the connections to be able to have a different experience and to just be able to say, I did that. You know what I mean? Like, I've went there. I've experienced it. I've seen this. I was able to do that. All those things associated with, you know, traveling outside the United States. So
absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I definitely agree.
Yeah.
And that's like the same for me too. Like, it's just all about creating new experiences and interacting with different people to generate new connections. Mm-hmm. You know, I love being able to pick a person's brain and just see how they think, how they act, you know, see the differences in between us and the similarities as well, mm-hmm. just to make some type of connection. To see what their life is like, to see what their occupation is and what they bring to the universe.
Right.
You know, that is like one of the main reasons why I love traveling. That and then just seeing the beautiful parts of God's creation.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Because this world is beautiful, which is why I always feel some type of way when people say, well, this is a terrible world and da-da-da. No, it's not. It's just the people in it. Yeah, it's just the people in it who just think differently. You know, they think differently and are misinformed or miseducated or ignorant. You know, it's just, and that can be unlearned. That can be untaught, you know, but this world is beautiful.
Right.
And it has so many different nooks and crannies that have not been explored by, you know, a lot of us who haven't been able to travel and stuff. And so it's like, why would I not?
Right.
Why would I not go out and see as much as I can and learn as much as I can and meet as many people as I can so that I cannot continue to not be ignorant about things, you know, that I don't understand.
Absolutely.
That's how you learn. Mm-hmm. That's how you grow. But if you just stay entrapped in your little box and in your own little space and your own mentality, then you're never going to expand.
Absolutely.
You're always going to be the same. You're always going to perpetuate the same things, you know? So it's like, you have to go out and see the world and experience new people and make new connections and whatnot.
Absolutely. I 100% agree. And I think I just love, like, I travel to obviously relax and to get away and be one with myself and kind of just have a chance to just rest myself and just think.
Mm-hmm.
But I like to find out new things that relate to me, you know?
Right.
Because when I went to the Bahamas, I was able to go to a museum, the Pompeii Museum, and just find out the history of the Middle Passage and be able to walk where our ancestors were traded, you know, and sold.
Mm-hmm.
Just getting in touch with that part of my history was just really important to me. And it was random. I wasn't expecting to do that on the trip. But once I did it, I was glad that I did, and kind of discovering just other people's truths and different countries' truths is important, because sometimes you think in America we have it so bad, you know, and so you go, even as Black people, we have it so bad, and we do. I'm not taking, you know, that away from what we experience here, but other countries, you know, and places deal with so much as well. And so, and seeing how we're all, like you said, connected, and what I can take away from it, you know, it's just nice and really rewarding, and just getting to know other cultures that are different from mine.
Right.
Sure. So any final thoughts?
Travel.
Yes. Don't be scared.
Plan a trip. Like, get together with some friends. Like, go out and do y'all.
Some friends that you like. Friends that don't act different when they travel. Yeah.
Right. And who are going to be open to trying different things.
Right. Right.
You don't want folks that be like, oh, let's just go to the McDonald's. Like, no, bitch.
Yes.
No, bitch. We are not going to go to McDonald's.
Right.
So, yes. And don't be afraid to see parts that you may think won't accept you as Black people, because they'll surprise you a lot of the times. Definitely be on guard though, and do your research. But don't be afraid to step out there.
Facts.
Well, that is all for the vent. I'm glad I got that off my chest for sure. because I had learned so much in the Bahamas. Like, I really did. Like, you know, the Bahamas is majority Black, but everything that is, they don't own a single thing, and at least not the island that I was at, Paradise Island, and they don't own shit. It's all the white people and the Chinese. Everything, and it's pretty much modern day slavery. Like, they work it. They're just there to work it. They weren't even there to help. They didn't even hire Bahamians to with the construction. And that's a high-paying job. They didn't even hire them for that. They brought some people in. And that was the part that tripped me. It's like, I really like the Bahamas. I love the food. I love the culture. But just to know my money's not even going to the people and the community, like,
it's crazy.
So it just inspired me to find. But there's so many islands in the Bahamas as well. So finding an island that serves, I mean, you know, that has locals, have more control, and they're they're benefiting from the tourism. It's like my next goal.
That honestly says so much. You know, the fact that they are working the stuff, but aren't the ones that are owning it. But I mean, I guess it's really not so different here.
Right.
But that also means that we have to start. That's why it's so important, just to bring it full circle, because I always need to. But that's why it's so important for us to support, like, businesses of color, you know, and Black businesses and stuff, because that way that money stays within our community, you know, and then we can start to buy different businesses, you know, and expand our and use our money for, like, to purchase hotels or to purchase banks and hospitals and things like that, because we do have to really be able to own our own things so that we are benefiting from the consumership, you know.
Absolutely.
Because everybody else is doing it, and we're the only ones that are not getting a piece of the pie.
And I think with the Bahamas, at least, it was kind of a fucked up situation anyway, because they were enslaved there.
Right.
And it's not that big. I mean, the island I was on was like 7 by 7, I think. 7 miles every direction. So it's not that big, but it's like, once they were freed, everything was bought up, and it was like, you can work here, you know. But they weren't even, like, even as wait, that's where kind of tipping came into part, is like, we're not gonna pay you for this, you have to work for your tips or what. It's just, I don't know, that learning that history of it made me realize, like, how important it is to kind of start our own stuff and to support other Black-owned businesses. And so that was, like, one of my goals and bucket list was finding an island where at least the locals had a lot of control over, you know, the mm-hmm. you know, the services and stuff, so that I can at least my money is going to their community and not back into the pockets of the white man.
Right.
I was like, this, or the Asian man, because
the Asians be buying stuff up too,
and just leaving, you know, like mm-hmm. it's just sad.
And right. collecting checks
all the checks. So
yeah,
but definitely get out there and travel and see what else is out there and learn something different about yourself and other people.
Absolutely. Bloop. Absolutely. That was a good conversation. Damn.
Yes, it was.
Yes. And because we don't have a question for this week, we are going to move right over to a word from our ancestors. Michael, you got anything for us today?
So what I have is a poem. A short quote. I won't even call it a poem, but yeah, it's a poem. Quote poem by Lucille Clifton. It's called Homage to My Hips.
Oh.
So it says, "These hips have never been enslaved. They go where they want to go. They do what they want to do. These hips are mighty hips. These hips are magic hips." By Lucille Clifton. Ooh. And I like this poem quote simply because we're talking about, you know, traveling while Black. Like, even though we may have to be on guard, you know, be hyper aware of our social cues and different interactions, you know, we still can't be broken. You know what I mean? Like, we come with our own flavor. We come with our own sauce. It's different. And we are who we are because of it. And we shouldn't allow that to, you know, not let us have a good time, or like they're trying to steal our shine and all this other type of bullshit that we have to endure for survival, but we are who we are regardless. And so that's a spiritual connection for me, to just say that, you know, to keep being who you are, to be our authentic selves and go out into this world and do what it is that we want to do and have to do, because we can, we should, and we are going to.
Right. Facts. I love it. So refreshing. It's like the lemon water to like just like wrap up the meal. That's just what that was like.
Lemon water.
Yes.
Or coconut water.
With some ginger.
And ooh.
Ooh, yes.
See, now I need to make some. Now I need to make some because I got all those ingredients in my
It's so refreshing.
Yes. But that's all for the show for today. Hopefully you guys enjoyed it. We definitely look forward to talking to you guys next week. Thank you guys so much for listening.
Yes, bye. Thank you. Bye guys.
Have an amazing week. Bye. 'Kay guys, thanks for listening to this week's episode of Woke and Broke. If you like what you've heard so far, do us a favor and share this week's episode with your friends. Then subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes and SoundCloud so we know it's real. If you want to learn more about us and the show, find us on Instagram and Facebook at Woke and Broke Podcast, and on Twitter at Woke and Broke Pod. Talk to you next week.